Hey, I wanted to jump in here and let you know that we have an introductory pricing going on right now up until May 18th. And what this is I have taken my courses and combined them all into a Move Better bundle. So you're going to be working on your feet, you're going to be working on your posture, and you're going to be working on your core, pelvic floor, all of those things. And you can save big right now. I am selling this for 50% off. So head to movingthroughmidlife.com, click on the Work With Me link. It is the Moving Through Midlife program, your Move Better bundle, where you can start working on feeling better in your body. You also then get access to workouts, recipe guides, live sessions with me and live classes with me throughout the month. So head to movingthroughmidlife.com, click on the Move With Me link, enter intro, and that will give you 50% off. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome to Raising Healthy Humans, a podcast created for busy moms, where you can easily find info on health and wellness for your family. Join Courtney, a health coach, movement and posture specialist, and founder of FormFit, an active and supportive community where she helps busy moms move more. Here on Raising Healthy Humans podcast, she shares personal life experiences, training, knowledge, and conversations with other health and wellness experts so you can raise healthy humans.
Today, I am speaking with Selena, a renowned Christian relationship coach and author who is sharing how we can keep centered in love, how to get the sparks flying after years of marriage, and some date night tips to help reconnect. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hello, Selena. How are you?
I'm doing so good. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I'm excited to have you on. I don't believe I've had anyone come on specifically to speak to us about relationships. And you are, I know, crazy, right? You are a relationship coach.
Yes.
Can you tell me what got you started in this type of coaching?
It's so ironic because I started as a health coach. Okay. And about 12 years ago, I received a master's in health administration. Health and nonprofits, that was my thing. That's where I thought I was going. That was the direction. However, recession, the 2008 recession, everything just kind of stopped. And I don't think we've had a recession like that since, but there were no jobs. Like, nothing at all. And so I was trying to do my own thing through health coaching because that was what my background was, my education background. But it just wasn't for me. You know, you want to, when you start something, you know, when you start your own business or you start doing online things, you want to make sure that you're very passionate about it because you're creating it. You know, it's coming from your heart. And green juice. I'm so sorry to say for health people, green juices and working out and doing that. I was totally into it, but it wasn't my passion. And I was living that life. You know, I was an essential oils seller. I did it all, but it just was not the thing that made me excited to wake up every morning. And so as I was building this and I was getting these clients and I was helping them on their health journey, I was feeling less and less like I liked the job. I wanted to quit. And I was like, wait, you can't quit. You created this. So I had to have a really deep revelation and soul searching and regain my clarity and really find out like, what is the why behind what I'm doing? If I have the corner office, why do I want to switch my office, you know, and why do I want to switch roles? And so I went through prayer. I really sought God out in this. And I really just felt, you know, the biggest transformation in my life was not my health journey, even though it was good for me and it made me feel good, but it was not my greatest transformation. My greatest transformation was when I met my husband and having a decade-long run of just rom-com failures and bad breakups and just becoming a very insecure and depressed woman who thought she should be married with kids at the point that she was, you know, that was my biggest transformation, learning how to find love, learning how to develop a very healthy relationship with my husband, learning the foundations of what it takes to create a healthy marriage before you get into a marriage so that that marriage can last. That is what moved me. That was what changed my life. And so I decided to do a pivot and I became a relationship coach to help women do the same thing in their life.
Okay. So when you speak about relationship coaching, how do you work? So many of the moms who listen to this are moms who have been in a marriage for a little bit of time. How do you start to work with women, families on their relationships? Because I know, like for myself, that those, especially when you have little ones, it can be really difficult to nurture that relationship. How do you help families with that? What are your recommendations for moms?
So a little background for me. I've been married now for 10 years and we have three children, ages 2, 5, and 6. Okay. Very hard, very difficult. I get it. I am there. I am still there, you know, trying to work it out. But one of the things that I had to realize and that my husband had to realize is that there are many seasons and those seasons constantly change. And so will you in each season. So for example, when you're pregnant, you might not want to be touched, especially because kids are constantly already touching you. You know, having the acceptance of like, this is where I am versus trying to force you into doing something that you used to do before you were there in that season. You know, that's going to help bring a better sense of awareness and a better sense of embracing this is where I'm at. And your spouse has to feel the same way. You know, there's going to be a moment where you're breastfeeding and you're like to your husband, like, get off me. No, these are no longer yours. I'm sorry. We're just, that's just not what we're going to do. He has to come to terms and realize like, this is a season. It's not going to be like this forever, but I have to love her in this season as she is in this season. I think what a lot of moms and what a lot of wives in marriages do is that we think that we are the same wife from the minute we said, I do. And because of all of the seasonal changes, because of all the hormonal changes, because of all the family dynamics and the privacy and the intimacy, all of these things have changed over time. You constantly have to come to terms with the fact that you will be recalibrating your life, your intimacy, and your relationship with your marriage and with yourself every single season. I think on every 3 months, it changes because, you know, there's a baby who goes through regression, or there's a kid who's now going to school, or there's summer vacation. You know, all of these things are going to change how I react to my husband and how my husband needs to react to me. And as long as you guys learn how to ride the waves, then you guys will constantly be seeing each other eye to eye. And that will give you a little bit more peace of mind to say, we can work on this relationship and we can make this relationship better in this moment. So that's what I tell my people.
Okay. So it sounds like, and I think you've mentioned it a couple of times about communication, just making sure that you're on the same page communicating about this. What happens if your partner is not, does not feel, because what I've noticed with my own husband, they take the back seat when your kids are little. What do you do with, if that's not something that they're comfortable with? How do you get them to really understand that, you know, right now you're just kind of drained physically and mentally?
You have to find the other ways to do it. And I want to, I'm going to say this, I'm going to finish this statement, but then I also want to go back to what you said in that statement. And there's more than one way to be intimate. There's emotional intimacy, there's mental intimacy, there's spiritual intimacy, there's physical intimacy. So all, if all four of them are drained, we have a problem. You guys have to get help, a tribe, something needs to work. But I'm willing to bet there's one of those things that you can work on while the other one is kind of going low. So for example, if your hormones are out of whack and physically intimacy is really difficult for you, then connecting with them through conversation, connecting with them by going on a deeper value, you know, maybe nature, maybe a vacation, maybe prayer, you know, all of these things, like those are the things that you can work on instead to kind of help balance it out in the meantime. But you mentioned, having the husbands go on the back burner. And that is something that I would suggest should not ever happen. Your husband should always be first. And you have to show your kids that first too, because at the end of the day, like, yes, our kids need a lot of us. They need a lot of energy. They need a lot of love. They need a lot of correction, a lot of time. But if you don't show them that your marriage comes first, then you are constantly raising your children to believe that they are the first priority and that your marriage doesn't matter. And then when they get into a relationship, it's going to be all whacked out all over again. So you have to tell your children, you have to teach your children, like, it's mom and dad time, or we're going on a date, or this is a boundary that my, you know, we're having dinner together. You guys are going to have dinner at this table. We're having dinner at this table, or, you know, we're going to do this. We are having a conversation with just me and mommy or me and daddy. So you guys need to respect that. You have to show them that you're putting them first. And if you show them that, then that also helps your husband feel like, okay, I'm included in this and we can work through this. And you're teaching them values of relationship. You know, relationships can come first, because your kids will get older and they will leave. And then what? You're going to have your husband. And how are you guys going to get back? You know, it's not like you're going to, there's not a pause button for your relationship and for your marriage. There's not a pause and then you press play once the kids are gone. It is a consistent movie that you guys are playing. And so you want to make sure that your movie is, even though there's some low points, there's also some really good high points throughout.
Okay. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because to be honest, he was put on the back burner. We are much further along in our marriage. I mean, my kids are 17, 15, and 12. So they're a lot older now. Yeah. And we've been married in February. It'll be 20 years. So we made it. We've made it through at least half of it. But he was put on the back burner, and we suffered for a while with that. So I'm glad you mentioned that for the, you know, for moms who may be doing the same thing. Hopefully they'll understand, because that is very difficult for them. And I do notice, like you mentioned, that for our children, it is important for them to see a healthy relationship. And we have, over the years, had to get back into dating again and do that stuff as the kids got a little bit older. But not that I'm saying that people should do it the way that we did it, because we had a rough patch. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
With families, as the children get older, and you, like you mentioned, you know, we're going to be together once they're gone. And that's kind of what my husband and I look at each other now, because, you know, our oldest is going to be a senior this next year. So it is starting to really hit us, like, okay, do we, like, you know, I mean, and we do, we love each other and we're in for the long haul, but it's very interesting to see how there are these stages in life that we're all going through. And do you have recommendations for us as our children get older to help us find that flame again, that reconnection, especially for those who have had some struggles along the way? Do you have recommendations for those individuals?
Yes, I do. And it's going to be a challenge. And I challenge you all to try to attempt to do it. Okay. So recently, my kids they're still young. And so the thought of going away, out of town, overnight trips, vacations was just completely out of the question, you know, because we always did it with the mindset that kids were coming. So, oh no, we're going to have diapers and the strollers and a car seat and Airbnb. Like, we have to have two rooms and nap times and blah, 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 blah. But one day, a friend decided to invite us to her wedding in Jamaica. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we decided to go. We didn't have a sitter. We don't have the grandparent support system, or at least we thought we didn't have the support system to pull it off. But when there are people in your corner who are fighting for you guys, okay, they are supporting you. They are your tribe. And if they see that you desire something, if they see that you need help, they will step up, whether you think they will or not. My mother lives in Florida. I live in Ohio. I randomly, nonchalantly told her, like, oh yeah, my friend invited us to this trip. I don't know. And she was like, oh, I'll come. I'll fly out and I'll be with your kids for a week. I said, three kids, a week. Mom, really? A week? Three kids by yourself? Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I'll do it. Because people see the value of you as a couple. They see you guys in your, I'm not going to say chaos, but in your beautiful chaos of you have kids all the time. They see you need a break. And not to say that it's because you're ragged and running down, but you deserve it because you're mm-hmm. doing such an awesome job as a family unit. And so my challenge for you guys to reconnect and to stay connected is to go away without your children. Whether that is an overnight weekend getaway somewhere where your children cannot reach you, whether that is a week long or an extended weekend, go away. We've been on two additional vacations since that time. And every time we've gone, we've gotten healthier. We've had more fun. Our friendship has rekindled. We've been more, our sexual confidence, if you will, has become, because it's now, oh, I'm going to wear this bathing suit. I'm going to wear this sun hat. I don't wear hats, but I'm going to buy one for this trip because it makes me feel good, because I can pretend to be an adult with no kids. I can pretend to just be us. I can do what we want. And you have to get back to that. And I think a lot of the times we get so distracted with the children that we take away who we used to be when it was just us. And so I challenge you guys, go away and see what happens, because then you're forced to talk to them. You're forced to have fun with them. You're forced to go on adventures with them. You're forced to try new things that you wouldn't do at your house as a mom. You get to take the hat off and you could put the sun hat on, and that creates a lot of adventure. It creates a lot of spontaneous moments. It creates a lot of intimate moments. It creates a lot of opportunities for you guys to communicate, and you can start rebuilding your relationship.
Thank you for letting us know that. You mentioned something that I kind of had to giggle about is going somewhere and while you're there, thinking about how you were prior to kids. And one thing I noticed, like when my husband and I do these things, it always ends up like, oh, we wish the kids were here.
Yes. Oh, yes. I definitely looked at our video camera at bedtime every night. And I was like, oh, they're giving her a hard time. Oh, they're sleeping now. But then you shut it off. You shut it off. You could turn it off. And that's the beauty of being away, is you could shut it off. Where when you're at home, there is no shut off, and you almost feel stuck in a way. And, you know, I know we all go through that mom guilt, but it feels that way sometimes. And so going away with your spouse allows you that precious, luxurious opportunity, that privilege to just shut it off.
What do we do for those families who might not be able to get away, whether it be financial or maybe they have a child that needs them a little bit more, with a disability or anything like that? Is there anything that you can recommend for those families?
Yes. Yes. And again, it's a challenge as well, which I should just say, the entire synopsis of what I say coming out of my mouth is, relationships are a challenge. Marriage is a challenge, but if you're willing to put in the work, it becomes a great, awesome thing. So the challenge here is, there are 24 hours in a day. Okay. You have to make your day count. Okay, my husband and I, my children are very early risers. They wake up at 7 a.m., 6 a.m. We have a clock that turns green, and so they know not to leave their rooms until it's 7 o'clock. So that gives us till 7. Okay. We have until 7 a.m. to be together, to talk, to plan, to work out, to get work done. I work in my office. So my husband and I to pray together. So my husband and I, we wake up at 4 a.m. Not every day, but the majority of the days we wake up at 4. That gives us 3 additional non-kid hours of our day to connect, to build on ourselves, to grow, to do what we have to do. Okay. If you're too tired, you can't wake up that early. Okay. What is their bedtime? A lot of people who don't have the structured bedtimes, or at least be in your room if they're older children, at least be in your room by a certain time. You're not doing that because you want to be very rigid and you want to be a dictator about your time, but you also want to set the boundary of like, kid time cuts off at this time. So our children go to bed at 8 p.m. So from 8 p.m. until the time we go to bed, that's an opportunity for you guys to connect, eat Oreos together, play a video game while the kids are asleep, or watch a movie, catch up on a show, read, pray, dance, do whatever you can do. Have a stay-at-home date, when you can in those moments. It's a matter of how you manage your time, whether it's in the morning or whether it's in the evening, that you can use to help connect with your spouse. Connecting with your spouse doesn't have to take an entire weekend. I mean, even though those are great and those are very fun, and that is almost like a recharge of your relationship, but you can also do it in the moments that you have each day. And you just have to carve some time out. If you can carve time out to meal prep, if you could carve time out to do your laundry, you can carve some time out for your husband. And you guys can work that into a daily routine where that would little by little, those bricks can start building up a really strong thing.
Well, and with time, because I can hear people saying to me, or to you, I don't have time. I don't feel like I have time for that. We don't have time to do this because, and they'll give you every excuse. And what I always say, like even with fitness, if you don't take the time now, you're going to spend way more time later having to work on it or heal it or
Yes.
figure something new out. So definitely, if you could just take a few minutes each day, like you're saying. For those that may have gone through hard time or where they're kind of confused about how to reconnect, do you have tips for them to kind of start moving back into that? Because that can always be an awkward time where maybe you haven't been communicating like you used to, maybe you haven't been on a date. How do you start that process again?
I don't want to offend anyone, but you have to stop overthinking it. A lot of the times when we get these wedges in our relationship and we build these walls up, we start making assumptions and we start overthinking and we start guarding our thoughts and protecting what we want to say because we think it's not going to be the right thing to say. I would much, as a relationship coach, I would much rather you spill the beans and just put it all out there on the table and just be like, this is where I'm at. And this is how I feel. And this is what I'm frustrated about. And this is what I'm scared about. Like, can we talk about the real issues with your spouse? Your spouse is supposed to be the one person that you can share everything and anything with. Your spouse is supposed to be the person where you feel unconditional acceptance or love. You should not feel judged. You should not feel shame in this relationship. And if you do, then you have to start putting yourself out there and start correcting it now because, like you said, it will get worse. And so you have to start just taking the courage, the 30 seconds of extreme crazy faith, and saying, I need to talk to you about this. And this is how I feel. This is what I think. This is what I'm fearing. This is what's on my heart. This is what's on my mind. You have to start communicating, and not the kind of communication where you're tippy-toeing around the issue, or you assume that he already knows what's going on, or you think that if you say this, it's going to come off this way. Like, let's just get naked in our talk, in our communication closets, right? Let's just get naked and just say, this is where we're at. This is how it is. And then also communicate, like, I want to make it better. I don't like being here. I want to make this better. I know we have kids. I know they're a handful. Can we please work together to get back to a good place for us? Because I want that for us. And then what you have to do, here's the other offensive part. Forgive me in advance. You have to listen. You got to listen. You got to listen to what they're saying. You don't know what they're going to say. You don't know how they're feeling. Just because you thought you knew who they were a year ago or when you got married does not mean that they're the same person with the same thoughts. You have to listen to what they're going to say. And if they don't want to talk, then that is a red flag, because that's letting them know that they're overthinking it and they're on tippy toes and they're not willing to be vulnerable. You guys should both come to a place to be vulnerable with each other, to share those hard things so that you can work through those hard things together. And so that's where you start. You start with communication, and honest and open and genuine communication. And that's kind of scary. But when you get past that fear, a lot of breakthrough can happen.
With intimacy.
Yes.
So we're communicating. How do we take that step forward? I'm trying to think how I'm meaning this. I mean, do you have tips for people? Because for many, as time goes on, everybody gets into their rhythms. So it becomes it becomes more difficult. So what can people do to kind of get back into that as well after they've started to communicate? Because I do think communication is important to start to feel comfortable. And then how did they then move into the intimacy?
Are we talking about romantic intimacy?
Yes.
You want me to go there?
I mean, if you're comfortable.
I'll go there. Again, I'm all about challenges, right? The word challenge should be somewhere in this title, because my husband and I, we had our two children, and we did not yet get to the third yet. So we're in our second children, and they're young. They're 18 months apart. It was a lot. It was probably one of the most heaviest postpartum seasons that I had. We were in the process of moving. It's 2019. So clearly, like, lots of things are already building up because of the whole 2020 thing. We're here. And hormonally, I was just not feeling it. I had no libido. I was not there. I knew I liked him. He was cute. You know, he wasn't not cute. But I just couldn't get there. I couldn't feel it. I would always overthink. It was always long and drawn out. It felt weird. I just wanted to get it done. You know, like, can we just get this done? You know, like, it's on my schedule, because they say schedule it so you can have it. But we both knew it was forced. We both knew it felt fake. So I said, okay, I read this book recently. It was called Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. And in this book, she mentioned that she did a 30-day challenge where she did things intimately with her husband every day for 30 days. And I think we should try it. He was on board, of course, naturally. All the men are always on board. But what you don't, and the women are all like, 30 days, no way, that's going to hurt. That's going to be crap. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. But what you have to understand is that it's not the act every day for 30 days. It's maybe you got 5 minutes. What can you do in 5 minutes? Maybe you got an hour. What can you do in an hour? Maybe this feels weird. So let's stop it and let's talk about why. This feels good. Let's explore more of this. And every day for 30 days, you figure it out. So we did this. Okay. I remember 2019, it was December to remember. He was very romantic leading up to it. And then in January, we were going to try this out. And by the end of the 30-day challenge, not only do we now know how to be intimate, but we both know how to enjoy it, how to get something out of it. We know how to do it when there's a little bit of time. We know how to make it extend for a lot of time. We know how to laugh. We know how to not overthink. You know, we're not offended when something happens. We're not bored when, because we know what to do. We know what works. I know how to feel sexy again. When it's time not to do it, we both are like, okay, we're not there. But when we get there, we know it's going to be great because now we know how to do it. I think a lot of the times married couples, we have our expectations of what that intimacy looks like. And then we get married and then we do things and it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But you never really have a season where you're exploring it, or maybe you have, where you're exploring it and you're figuring each other out and you're figuring what works for you, what works for him, what excites you, what excites him. And when you take time, the 30-day challenge or another challenge, if you prefer less or more, when you take time to really just focus on it, consistently focus on it until you figure it out, then your intimacy level will rise because now you take away the guessing, you take away the overthinking, you take away the fear or the shame, you take away all of those things because now you know, oh, if you just touch me here and I just go here and this is, you know, it works and it's fun and you guys find fun in doing it again. And so that is my advice. That's what worked for me, at least. Apparently it worked for Rachel Hollis back in the day. That's what I suggest. So long story short, you have to create the time to figure it out and stop showing up assuming you're going to know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of things that you mentioned. One is we overthink everything. If we could just get out of our mind and more in our body, I think we all would do so much better in so many ways. And then two, the more you do things with one another, the more you're going to want to do things with them. Like that is definitely, you know, if you get stuck not doing anything, that can get, I mean, you just get comfortable with it. So work it the opposite way, get comfortable with doing things. So I love all of that. Another question for you, and you had mentioned this a while back about how we all change and what, so I know that you are very God-centric with your approach to relationships. What do you do when two people are growing apart? Not, you know, because they're getting older, they're, you know, everybody's growing and we all grow at different paces from one another. How do you still keep that relationship grounded when you have this going on?
So one of the things that Kyle and I encountered in the middle of our marriage was his mother passed away. She died of cancer. It was very sudden. It was very quick. And that took everyone for a toll. This was the same season that my mother decided to move to Florida. As I mentioned, this was the same season that I had my second son and I was still breastfeeding. Breast milk was getting low. I didn't know what to do, you know, for trying all the supplements, all the things. This was the same season where I was trying to get back into my healthy, fit body, pre-pregnancy body. And because something happened, you know, my body is still healing and I was not giving it grace at the time. My hip twisted, which twisted my knee, which twisted my foot. And I was in a boot for 12 weeks. Okay. So all of this is happening in the same season and we were at each other. You know, it wasn't necessarily malicious or nasty, but there was definitely a disconnect there. The only thing that helped us in that very difficult and challenging season for us was we had to go back to the thing we valued most, and that was God. That was praying. We knew that the only thing we could do in our lives that could help us do this was our value and our faith. And that was by praying. So we didn't have time, right? There was the kids are up all hours of the day. What do? We made the time. We said, you know what? You go to work all day. You're visiting your mom every day. I'm with the kids all day. We're going to choose to wake up at 5 every morning. And from 5 to 5:30, we are both going to pray about this. Okay. And that's what got through. That's how we got through that season. And to this day, we kept it up because that's what keeps getting us through the rest of the seasons. And so my advice to you is you have something that you value as a woman. You have some things that you're holding on to that is just your anchor to your life, whether that is your faith, whether that's your health, whether that's something else in your life. Your husband has values, something that he's holding on to, something that anchors him. You guys have to figure out what is the one value that brings you both together, and you have to pursue that value with everything in you. Whether, like I said, whether that's prayer, whether that's your faith, whether that's nature, maybe you guys loved going, you better go on some nature walks. Okay. Whether that's healthy eating, you better go to the grocery store, like find the thing that brings you both to that anchored state, that anchored sense of security in your individual lives. And that's going to bring you both together as a marriage unit. And that's what's going to help you through those tough seasons, because you're holding on to the same thing and you guys are doing it together. You guys are saying, this is what's keeping me grounded, but I'm keeping it grounded while holding your hand, while holding my spouse's hand. And so because we're doing it together, it's making us stronger in the end. So find that value that you hold near and dear to your heart and have your husband do the same thing, and then do it together. Run together towards that thing and make the time to value that thing in those hard seasons.
I love that, because as you were saying that, it dawned on me that during our hard time, we did that, but it was walking. Like was one thing that we did when we dated, is we would go for walks every day. And that's what we started to do. And in the beginning, we didn't say much to one another. We just walked together. And then as time went on, we started talking more. And that, you know, that was what we had to do at that time to kind of get through that rough patch, get through, understand, communicate again. So I love that, because that's definitely what we need to do. Find what works for you.
Yes.
And I think going back to, like, what did you enjoy doing together when you dated, that kind of thing can help as well.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. I met Kyle in church, which is very rare these days. And I wasn't necessarily the best Christian. I was very new. And I thought for sure I was going to bring him down. And so in my faith, I said, my parents were divorced. I'm really scared about getting married. But he was very sure of it, because his parents were very in love, very much in love, very married for a long time. He was like, what's the problem? What's the worst that could happen? I was like, everything can happen. Starting with, you know, list all the things. And so what we did when we were dating was we communicated a lot, and we studied what does it mean to be married? What does it mean to have relationships? Why do people get divorced? We went through classes, courses, retreats, seminars, studies, podcasts. We read books. We did all of these things. And then we came back together and we talked about it, to the point where I was just so confident in the fact that, yeah, the only thing we can do now is just apply what we learned and get married. I guess we should probably do the thing we've been studying. Our faith was always a part of our relationship, because it was through the faith that we learned how to build that relationship up. And so naturally, like you said, we went back to that.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes. So I am all over the place. I started my business in 2015. So luckily for me, I got into everything before everything became a thing. So I'm on YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook. I am currently an author of 4 books. You could find all 4 of my books on Amazon. I think the one to really shine today would be my book, Christian Dating Adventures. It's 65 ideas and topics of where you and your spouse can go on a date, whether you have a budget of 0, whether you have an overnight budget of, you know, getting a limo and beyond, whether it has conversation points, it has a devotional piece if you're faith-based, it has Yeah, I want to say that's it. But there's 65 of them, if whether you're indoors, outdoors, adventurous, homebodies, crafty. I think there is a date in there, if I'm not mistaken, called the Bob Ross date. So if you're into that, I mean, it goes crazy. It gets into a lot of places. There's dates for holidays. There's dates for families. If you have, if you want to engage your families. So that would be the book I would say. You could find it on Amazon, or you can go to my website, SelenaAlmodovar.com. And if you really want to stay connected, towards the end of the year, my husband and I will be starting our own podcast called Love by Faith, where he's a guy who's a guy being a guy. I'm a relationship coach. And together, we're going to talk about all the things that I shared in this episode, as well as anything else that comes to mind, because relationships just go on and on. And my biggest passion is I want to make sure that the women who are listening and the future men, that you guys have what it takes to know that you can set up your relationship to have it thrive and build and just continue to last.
Excellent. Can you also give us one tip, one thing that we can focus on this week to help either bring us back together or keep us together, keep that relationship and that flame going?
I want to say that you need to have fun with your spouse, whether you are joking, whether you are giving him love taps, whether you are just, playing footsie in bed. Do the one thing that will make you both giggle, and that will ease you into some good stuff.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day for this.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope that everyone had a good time with us, because I definitely had a great time here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. We hope you found this information valuable and can incorporate it into your family's life. Make sure to check out our show notes for all the important links available. Come join us on Facebook at Moms Raising Healthy Humans community page. Also, please check out our wide range of memberships, family monthly focus ideas, challenges, live events, and on-demand and live workouts, meal plans, and so much more. Head to formfitonline.com. And as always, keep moving.